spied into the back seat while the man with the gun stepped into the front passenger side. "Let's go," he said to the driver. A knock sounded on Axel's door and Lacey seized in fear. A man's voice carried through it, and Lacey looked at Will, neither knowing who this person was. She stood up from the couch. "I'll get it."
"No, let me."
Will pulled himself up, still feeling a stab of pain in his leg, and walked toward the door, peering through the fisheye lens.
"It's about Trevor, Axel. I need you to let me in."
Will waited for him to offer up identification, and when he did, he unlocked the door and pulled it open.
"Agent Axel didn't tell us someone was coming." "I know. They've got him, and we need to act quickly."
"Wait. They've got who? What the hell's going on?" Lacey asked.
"Axel. They've got Agent Axel. I don't have time to explain. I need Kaysen."
Lacey turned to Will. "What are you going to do? I can't stay here. I've got to help him."
"No way," Will began. "You're staying right here, and so is Aaron. I'll go and help. Look, Lacey, he knew the risks, and he's got people on his side. You need to let him take care of this, or risk burning the whole thing."
The man waited while these two argued.
"There's no time for this. Kaysen, you and I need to go now."
"If you think we're going to stay here and do nothing, then you're both sorely mistaken. Do what you need to do to help Agent Axel, but Aaron and I can do something. We can talk to my boss. She'll have the answers as to what's going on with the investigation, and we can tell Mendez what's happening." Lacey grabbed a wallet and cell phone and turned to Aaron. "You coming?"
"Where are we going?"
"FBI headquarters. This ends now."
"Lacey, no," Will insisted. "Let her go. Axel's life could be in danger, and I need your help. If they're going to headquarters, they'll be safe there."
He turned to Lacey.
"Don't come back here until you hear from me or Agent Kaysen."
Will wasn't going to sway either of them and conceded.
"Porter. Agent Porter. He's the one who set up the surveillance and gave Axel the envelope with the recording. That's who you need to see. Him or SSA Mendez. No one else. Trust no one else."
Lacey had taken Will's car and stepped out as they arrived at the FBI building. Aaron soon followed.
"What now?"
"We go inside and talk to Porter and Mendez."
"You don't work here anymore, remember? How are you planning on getting inside?"
"My boss. She'll get us in." Lacey walked into the lobby, stepping up to the information desk. "I'd like to see Michelle Vogel, please."
"Do you have an appointment?" the man asked.
"No, but she knows me. Could you please call her?" The man raised the phone.
"What's your name?"
He knew her name. She'd worked there for the past 4 years. Irritation masked her face, but she continued. "Lacey Merrick." He nodded and dialed Michelle's number.
"Ms. Vogel, you have a Lacey Merrick here to see you."
He paused for a moment.
"Thank you," he said and returned the phone to the desk. "She'll be right down. Just wait over there, please."
Minutes passed and Lacey's nerves stood on end. "What's taking so long?"
"You sure she's still your friend?" Aaron asked.
"She'll be down." Finally, the elevator doors opened and Michelle Vogel stepped out, but she wasn't alone. Lacey swallowed the rising lump in her throat.
"Who's that?"
Aaron whispered. "I don't know." "Lacey, it's so good to see you." Michelle greeted her with a hug. "And who's this?"
"A friend of mine."
She hesitated to give his name, but he jumped in anyway.
"Aaron Hunter, pleased to meet you."
"Michelle," Lacey began, "I'm sorry to arrive unannounced, but I was hoping to speak with you."
"Of course. This is SSA Martin Delgado. I think it might be a good idea for him to sit in with us."
She wanted to ask who the hell this person was. Instead, Lacey nodded to Aaron as if everything was just fine.
"Sure."
They made their way to Michelle's office on the same floor where Lacey worked only days ago. An odd, unsettling feeling passed through Lacey. His eyes glared back at her from the cubicles as they walked. It was as if they all thought she was guilty of some horrendous crime.
"Please have a seat."
Michelle ushered them inside and closed the door. Lacey hesitated to speak. She had no idea if this man could be trusted, and Will's final words to her echoed in her ear. "Trust no one else."
"Actually, I was hoping I could speak with SSA Mendez. I know he and his partner, Agent Kaysen, have been working on the investigation regarding the mall attack, the one that killed my husband."
With her final statement, she glared at Delgado.
"Of course," Agent Delgado replied. "I am so sorry to hear about how this has affected your family.
I can't imagine. He trailed off. But I'm afraid SSA Mendez has been called back to Louisville, and the investigation has been turned over to me. She felt Aaron's gaze fall upon her, as if he believed their entire plan had just blown up in their faces. Maybe it had, but they were here now.
I see. I was hoping to get an update on the investigation, seeing as I've been stripped of my credentials.
Is that what this is about? Michelle asked.
Lacey, you know there's a conflict here, and I had no choice but to remove you from the situation.
And what about now? You still believe my husband was involved, even after a terrorist group claimed responsibility?
There are a lot of moving parts here, Mrs. Merrick, Delgado said. And unfortunately, since I'm just getting into the meat of the situation, I can't recommend your return until I know more.
They needed Mendez's help, and that door had just been slammed shut. Axel was on his own, and Lacey could only hope that Will and the other man who hadn't introduced himself could find him.
I'd like to get an understanding of where the investigation is at, if I could, Lacey began.
I'm not sure if I can offer up anything new, but if you could share your thoughts, that would be a good start.
Time was being wasted, but Lacey didn't know how to get out of this.
She couldn't reveal what they knew about Kendrick or China or anything, because the man in front of her might have friends in the State Department who didn't want to see the truth come to light.
I don't think that's possible, Mrs. Merrick. As I've said, I'm still wrapping my arms around this, and, as you are no longer on staff, I simply can't share anything with you at the moment.
She began to rise.
I understand, and I'm sorry to have wasted your time. She turned to Aaron.
We should go now.
The two began to leave, but Delgado spoke up.
SSA Mendez's partner, Agent Kaysen, have you spoken with him lately?
No, I'm afraid I haven't. Thank you again.
She eyed Aaron to insist they take their leave.
Goodbye, Michelle. It was good to see you.
Actually, I'll walk you out.
Michelle turned her attention to the senior agent.
Excuse me for just a moment.
She joined them in the hall and began walking with them toward the elevators.
You mind telling me what that was all about? What are you doing here?
Lacey stopped. I need to see Agent Porter, Michelle. I wouldn't ask if I didn't need your help.
She regarded them with what appeared to be sympathy.
I don't know why Mendez was pulled from the investigation, or how this man knew you were here. I didn't tell him. He caught up with me before I got on the elevators and said he heard you were here and wanted to have a word.
Lacey began to feel that Michelle hadn't been compromised.
Something very bad is happening, and I'm running out of time. Will you help us?
Michelle peered over her shoulder.
Follow me. We need to be quick.
They hurried onto the elevator and walked through the building until they finally reached the ops center, where Porter was stationed.
That's him over there.
Michelle led the way to the man who'd risked his job and had broken half a dozen laws to help Kaysen.
Agent Porter, Michelle began. I don't know if you've met Lacey Merrick.
We've met, but only briefly. Nice to see you again. What can I do for you?
I can take it from here, Michelle, Lacey said.
She nodded and placed her hand on Lacey's shoulder.
Be careful, and only call me on my personal cell if you need me.
When Michelle disappeared from view, Lacey turned to Porter.
Do you have anything new?
How's Kaysen?
He's okay. However, we've got a pressing concern regarding our friend with Central Intelligence.
He eyed her, appearing to anticipate an explanation, but she remained silent.
You heard about Mendez being transferred?
Yes.
Porter nodded.
Hang on, it'll take me a minute. I wasn't expecting you.
Moments later, he handed her a flash drive.
This is from first thing this morning. I tried to reach out to our mutual friend earlier, but got no response.
She tried to take it from him, but he was holding on.
This is the last you'll hear from me. You're not safe here, you understand? None of you are.
Chapter 22 The men who flanked Axel pulled him inside an office, taking little notice of his injured hand. But Axel didn't give them the satisfaction of revealing discomfort. It had been a long time since he'd found himself in this position, not since his days in Syria at the beginning of the Arab Spring, when he was undercover.
Please, sit down, Agent Axel.
The man behind the desk motioned toward the seat in front of him.
I suppose you'd like to know why you are here.
Axel remained silent as he took his seat.
That looks like a painful injury to your hand. What did you do?
Still, Axel only eyed the man with suspicion.
You don't talk much, do you, Agent Axel? Then I suppose I'll have to do all the talking. You're in a very delicate position, Agent. One that, frankly, hasn't been handled as well as I would have expected. Nevertheless, here we are at the crossroads. He waited for a rebuttal, but none came. I'll get to the point. You and your friends have been interfering in a situation you know absolutely nothing about, and unfortunately, this has become a problem for my associates and me. You see, Mr. Kendrick is working very hard to maintain diplomatic ties with China, ensuring its continued investment in the United States. Your country's economic recovery has been absolutely dependent upon this investment. Whether you are aware of this or not, that has been the case. And exposure of what you think you know would mean the end of such good relations and the end of my country's interest in continuing to invest. Axel remained steadfast. Whatever it is you and your friends think you know is absolutely false. Continuing to pry for answers will only mean more trouble ahead. Now, I am giving you this opportunity to call your friends off. Allow your government to do as it sees fit for your people.
And if we don't comply?
Axel finally broke his silence. One of the men who stood behind him pressed his hand on top of his injury and applied pressure.
Then you will all pay the price, and your hand will be the least of your concerns. He paused. Do we have an agreement, Agent Axel?
Axel smiled.
Oh, I don't think so. And just to let you know, there are people who know where I am. If they don't hear from me soon, you'll be the ones to pay.
A callous expression shrouded his face.
Killing a government employee would not look good for your people.
Axel leaned in to make his point clear.
The truth will come out.
Suit yourself, Agent Axel.
He motioned to one of the men who grabbed Axel by the arm.
Take him outside.
With a gun raised to his temple, a smile appeared on Axel's lips.
Where are we going?
You overestimate your government's concern for you, Agent Axel.
They led him through the building that housed a few small offices. There wasn't much time, and if his colleague didn't show up, Axel knew he wasn't going back. In the bright noonday sun, he squinted until his eyes adjusted. They were in a warehouse district, and ahead, he spotted his car. They'd driven it from Kendrick's office, and it sat alone near a loading dock.
Hey, there's my car. Thanks for driving it here for me, guys.
Both ignored his comment and continued leading him toward it. Axel surveyed the location, but saw that no help had arrived.
Come on, Coburn. I need you, buddy.
In that moment, Agent Coburn turned a corner and appeared only feet before the men escorting Axel.
Afternoon,
he eyed Axel. The men remained quiet and continued past him. Coburn turned around.
I said afternoon.
Will appeared from behind the building.
I think my buddy's talking to you.
Lacey stared through the windshield, hands gripping the steering wheel tightly. He said we could come back, but I didn't like the tone in his voice, and he wouldn't tell me if Axel was with him. Aaron stared at the flash drive resting on the center console of Will's car.
There must be proof on there that Kendrick is working with Lei Jian. Porter was right to warn us. As long as we have this, we aren't safe.
He might not be either. This has to end, Aaron. She turned to him. Do we take this to the media, get it out in the open?
I don't know.
Lacey, they'll kill us if we expose them. We'll stand a better chance of dying if we don't expose them. If this gets out, Kendrick will be under a microscope. He'd be the first suspect.
I think Kendrick is a puppet for the MSS, and they won't hesitate, as we've already seen.
Then what? We need answers. We need to see Agent Axel. She started up the car and pulled onto the road. We can't stay at his place. I feel like we're a sitting target.
Where else can we go? We can't keep running. Like you said, this has to end. Without help, the chances we make it through another day are slim.
She shot him a look. Let's just get back to the apartment and let Will know what we found out. Maybe Axel's already back. Silence pervaded in the space between them as they drove back to the apartment. The idea of letting the media run with the story seemed viable in Lacey's head, but Aaron's reasoning was hard to ignore. Axel's building appeared in the distance. Lacey pulled into the parking lot and both made their way inside toward the elevator. She reached for Aaron's hand as they climbed each floor. Thank you for not turning your back on me. I know how much you've risked, and I'll never be able to repay you. He squeezed her hand in reply.
The doors opened and they walked along the corridor to number 378. Lacey knocked. When no one came, she knocked again and regarded Aaron with concern. The door opened and it was Axel's friend. He didn't speak, only stepped aside to follow them. "Where's Agent Axel? Did you find him?" Lacey's pulse quickened as she wondered why they weren't answering her.
"I heard you made a stop to see your old boss, Lacey."
Axel appeared from the hall. "Oh, God. You're okay, thank God. What happened?"
"Jen's people."
Colburn noticed Lacey holding the flash drive.
"What's that?"
She opened her palm. "I got it from Agent Porter. Will, Mendez was sent back home. The case was turned over to an Agent Delgado. He and Michelle Vogel stopped us in the hall when we got there. She told us about Mendez, and I think she's still someone who will help. And Agent Porter. But I can't say the same about Delgado."
"What's on the flash drive?"
Colburn asked. "I don't know, but Porter's scared. He doesn't want to be involved any longer," Lacey began. Colburn extended his hand.
"May I?"
He took the drive from Lacey and placed it into his laptop. As the audio files loaded, he pressed play.
"What do you mean they're still out there? You were supposed to take care of this." "That's Kendrick," Axel began. "As sure as I'm standing here, that's Drew Kendrick."
"We will find out whoever accessed the information. I have my people working on it, and it's only a matter of time. It was my people who tracked down the initial location."
"It was also your people who failed to stop them. We need to know who the fuck we're dealing with. I need a goddamn name."
The recording stopped. Lacey cast her eyes toward Aaron. "They don't know who we are yet."
"No. They know people have accessed their systems, and have even tracked down my IP address location. But they still don't have a clue about our identities." Aaron looked to Will. "That's a good thing, right?" "They know now," Axel interrupted. "Kendrick knows something about what we're doing. I don't know if he's aware of all of us, but he sure as hell knows CIA is involved." "We also have the bank account information Aaron was able to hack into," Will added. "That shows Jen sending money to Owen Ballard in exchange for information regarding Nova and others, I assume. The audio doesn't identify either party or admit who they were after, and there's no association that Kendrick was involved in the terrorist attack on the mall or was paid to cover it up," Colburn added.
"None that we've found yet. Unless you're saying that we're back at square one. Is that what you're saying, Agent Colburn?" Lacey asked.
"Travis here filled me in on what you all were working on, and to be blunt, I knew a shitstorm was going to come down sooner or later. I might have been able to help if he'd called me in before now."
He cast a glance to Axel.
"There are too many moving parts, high-ranking moving parts."
He pushed up from the couch and moved toward the front window.
"What we need is proof that Jen helped coordinate the attack and paid Kendrick to keep quiet. I doubt Kendrick got his hands that dirty. They never do. So even if it's someone tied to Kendrick, that'll do."
He turned back.
"There has to be a connection between Jen and the shop owner who made the IED as well. This whole thing needs to be wrapped up in a tight little bow before anyone will listen to us."
"Sajwani," Will said. "He was the go-between for Jen and Ballard. He had to have ties to the shop owner. He had to have been the one to make that happen. And if we can make that connection..."
He stopped short.
"Aaron, you're the one who figured out the money transfers. So, what's missing is a way to bring Kendrick into the fold. Did he receive money, and if so, who gave it to him? What was the agreement?"
"To shove the investigation under the rug, find a desperate group of terrorists who needed funding, and make it seem like they took responsibility for the attack." "So, how do we find Sajwani?" Axel asked. "I'm blown, and he knows we're on to him. That's going to make all this the more difficult."
"Through Liwa. He was working for them as a consultant," Aaron said.
"Good. Then all we need is Tom Neville. He'll fold. This whole thing has turned out to be more than he bargained for."
Will turned his attention to Aaron.
"But we still need a money trail. Can you find one?"
"Without being discovered? Shit, I don't know. I'm good, but so are they.
Can you do it?"
"This only works if we have everything we need to take it to the top,"
Will continued.
"He's right. We get this and we take it straight to the director of the FBI, Colburn said. "All this other bullshit," he gestured toward the flash drive. "It's not enough, and we don't know who we can trust at the FBI. And our people can help, but they can only do so much. This isn't our ball game."
He looked to Axel.
"And we can't stay here any longer.
How do we stay out of sight in the meantime? Axel asked.
Before I go any further, I need to know that my children are safe. Agent Axel, can you make contact, please?
Of course. I'll make sure you speak with them.
He turned to Coburn.
Any ideas where we go next?
I have a place in mind, one that isn't on anybody's radar.
Lacey reached for the car door handle and opened it, but before she could step out, Will stopped her.
Hey, you sure you're okay to do this?
I have to be the one. He doesn't know I'm on leave, and I think the guilt about Jay and maybe even Owen might have gotten to him, and that was the reason he agreed to meet with me. I'll be okay.
She stepped out.
Will leaned over the passenger seat.
I'll be close enough to keep an eye on you, but just text me if things start to go south, and I'll be right there.
Lacey nodded and shut the door. The sun burned her eyes as she walked along the sidewalk toward the restaurant. Heat rose from the pavement, making her sweat even more than she already was from nerves. She was about to meet the man who Jay had proved had been snooping into her background, but mentioning that would be a mistake. She needed his help, and if he didn't want to offer up any, then they had enough on him to send him to prison for the majority of his life. Lacey pulled open the restaurant doors and waited a moment for her eyes to adjust to the darkened room. The temperature dropped at least 20 degrees the second she stepped in, and now a chill fell down her spine from the cool air pressing against her dampened skin.
May I help you? A young woman stood behind the podium. Yes, I'm here to see a Tom Neville. Dark hair, around 6 feet tall. Of course, he's expecting you. Right this way, please.
The woman led the way to the table where Tom Neville waited.
Here you are.
Mrs. Merrick.
Neville rose from a seat and shook her hand.
Please, sit down.
He looked to the hostess.
Thank you.
Certainly. I'll send a waiter to take your order.
She turned on her heel and gestured to the waiter.
First of all, I'd like to tell you how sorry I am about your husband, Mrs. Merrick. Terrible, terrible tragedy.
Thank you. Please call me Lacey.
She adjusted her chair.
Then call me Tom.
He began to study the menu.
Would you like a glass of wine?
Thank you, no. It's a little early for that. I'd be useless for the rest of the day.
She feigned laughter, but he seemed to take it as genuine.
I suppose so.
Listen, Mr. Neville, Tom, I'd like to get right to the point.
In that moment, the waiter arrived and Lacey fired a glance at him.
Could you give us a minute, please?
When he was out of earshot, she continued.
You're aware that I work for the FBI.
Yes, I heard something to that effect.
Neville no longer appeared jovial, and a marked shift in his demeanor became evident.
And are you aware that I was put on leave due to the contract between Nova and Argus and how it related to the attack that ultimately killed my husband?
No, I wasn't aware of that at all.
That's awful. Do they think he had some sort of involvement?
I hadn't heard anything to that effect.
Well, there are some suggestions that he and Owen Ballard were receiving money from a not very friendly group of individuals who may have been involved.
You'll have to forgive me, Mrs. Merrick, but I don't understand why you're bringing this up with me. Why did you ask to meet me here?
Mr. Ballard, as I've been told, is no longer with us, and again, this seems to involve Argus Solutions. So, for the life of me, I can't figure out what it is you're getting at.
Lacey leaned over the table, arms folded in front of her.
There seems to be a misunderstanding between what the FBI believes and what is fact. My husband had no more to do with the attack than I did. But you see, there's proof of a connection. Money had changed hands, and I'm afraid Owen Ballard was the one orchestrating that arrangement.
She leaned back in her chair.
Now, from what I gather, you and Ballard had some sort of agreement. Isn't that right?
Neville appeared indignant.
I'm sorry. Are you accusing me of something, Mrs. Merrick? You know, I have enough on my plate without... It's in your best interest to listen closely to what I have to say, Tom. Because if you don't, you'll find yourself in an 8x10 cell for the next several years. This seemed to finally get his attention.
Jay Merrick was dragged into this by Owen Ballard, who was attempting to frame him, I suspect, though the purpose of that still escapes me, and since he's no longer here, I have no one left to ask. Money was paid to him by both your organization and gentlemen who have associations with Nova's parent company.
And this involves me how?
Lacey smiled.
Tom, we both know it was you who paid Owen to give you information on your competitors and Argus staff, which, unfortunately for you, included my husband. He never did like you.
Neville looked around the restaurant as if law enforcement was going to swoop down on him at any moment.
Don't worry, Tom. This is just between us, for now. Because the real reason I asked you here was not to place blame for my husband's death, which you rightly deserve, but to ask for your help.
This time Neville chuckled. You want my help? She nodded.
In exchange for your help, none of your past misdeeds will be brought to light.
How do I know you have anything at all on me? All I'm hearing are words. You have evidence of these things you're spouting off about.
Lacey was prepared for the question and retrieved a printed email from a batch Aaron originally discovered for Jay.
Does this look familiar?
She laid the paper on the table and pushed it toward him. Neville reached for his reading glasses and began to scan the paper. A stony expression masked his face until he finally peered up at Lacey.
So you obtained an email, illegally I might add, that mentions a search Ballard did for me. I hardly think that's worth going to prison for.
He tossed the paper back toward her.
Okay, I guess I can see your point. How about this? You've met Agent Will Kaysen, is that right? He came to your office about a week ago?
That's right.
Well, he's been a tremendous help with all of this, and in fact, he managed to obtain through FBI resources information regarding a certain bank account. And I guess several deposits were made into this account by your company, money that you authorized, I hear.
My company pays a lot of people to do work, Mrs. Merrick.
Of course they do, but this was different. You authorized several payments of roughly $100,000 each to be paid to Owen Ballard in his secret offshore account.
I wonder what would happen if your boss looked into those transactions. You must have jumped through some hoops to hide that kind of money from the books.
She knew she had him this time, and she only had to tell one small lie, and that was the information hadn't come from Will, but from Aaron, who hacked into the bank's servers.
Embezzlement carries a hefty sentence, I hear.
If you want my help, then I'll need assurances.
Of course, no one will know of our discussion.
Then what is it you need me to do?
Chapter 23
Will peered through the windshield and was pleased at the sight before him. Lacey and Tom Neville approached in the distance, and that meant only one thing. She'd convinced him it was in his best interest to help. Lacey opened the passenger door.
Agent Kaysen, I believe you know Tom.
Will leaned over to get a good glimpse of the man who'd participated, even if unwillingly so, in the orchestration of the tragic mall attack.
Nice to see you again, Tom. Please come in. We have a lot to discuss.
Tom slid into the back seat without uttering a word. Will started the engine and glanced at Tom through the rearview mirror.
Let's get this show on the road. Your office isn't far. Should be there in 10 minutes or so.
The sound of a vibrating cell phone echoed in the car. It was coming from Neville's coat pocket.
Don't answer that, Will began. Lacey, get the phone from him.
She reached around the back seat. I'm sorry, Tom, but I'll need your phone, please. He eyed her with disdain and slapped the phone into her hand.
When we get back to your office, you can call from there. I can't risk anyone knowing our position right now.
Why are we going back to my office?
You'll have better access to the information we need from there. And we don't want to raise any concerns if you suddenly don't return to work after lunch.
Within minutes, they'd arrived at the Nova offices and Lacey began to step out.
I'll keep you posted. You'll come back for me?
You bet. Be careful. Will turned to Tom. Just do what she asks and everything will go smoothly.
Neville slammed the back door as a final sign of rebellion and walked beside Lacey as they entered Nova's lobby.
First thing you'll need to do is make sure the rest of your day is clear.
Lacey kept her eyes straight ahead as she spoke.
It is.
They approached the security desk, and Tom flashed his employee ID badge.
She's with me.
The officer nodded and let them pass through the newly installed metal detector, an after-effect of the attack meant to ensure Nova was a safe place for its employees. Tom pressed the elevator button, and within seconds, the door parted and the two stepped inside. He cast a sideways glance at Lacey.
Why are you doing this?
You mean looking for the truth?
I mean endangering yourself after you just lost your husband. And you have children, if I recall.
Well, you would know. You made sure Owen Ballard ran a background check on me and my family. That's how you knew I worked for the FBI.
She regarded him.
Why don't you tell me why you did what you did?
If you think this was how I wanted this to play out, you're very much mistaken.
None of this was supposed to happen. It was Ballard who double-crossed me and this country.
And yet you kept quiet.
The doors opened to the fifth floor, and Tom led the way along the corridor to his office. As Lacey followed him inside, he closed the door.
You think I had a choice? Once I got wind of what was happening, I kept quiet because I knew who these people were and what they were capable of.
Who told you what Ballard was up to? Did you know they were going to kill him?
I'm not what you think I am, Mrs. Merrick. And no, I didn't know someone was coming after him. Word came to me via a mutual friend, and after that happened, I knew my place. I didn't want to end up like him.
A mutual friend? Lacey moved toward the window and peered down to the street.
Why was my husband at the mall that night? Did you plan for him to be there? Did Ballard?
She turned back to face him.
He never goes to the mall.
I can't answer that question. I'm sorry, I wish I could.
Tom sat down at his desk.
Now why don't you tell me what I need to do so we can end this?
Lacey walked toward him, pulling up a side chair.
I'm looking for how Hassan Sajwani is tied to Liwa, and where he got the money to give to Ballard.
So, I get information from who? Sajwani himself? I don't know him.
You have contacts at Liwa. I need you to work those contacts and get access to Sajwani's files, correspondence, transactions, data transfers. What was he contracted to do? What type of information did he have access to?
Okay, I get it. How long do I have?
We need answers as soon as possible. These people are dangerous. You already know that. We both do.
It'll take a day, maybe two.
You'll have to do better than that.
It's already approaching late evening in Dubai. Everyone would have gone home.
You have access to their servers. You must. You manage cybersecurity.
For our office, not corporate headquarters.
Lacey handed him the receiver from his desk.
Then call them, now.
What am I supposed to say?
Tell whoever you need to that because of the attack, you need to access their security systems to see what they're doing.
Shit, I don't know. Make something up.
Neville seemed to consider her demands and snatched the phone from her.
If they see through this, it's over for me. You realize that, right?
Then I guess you'd better make this the most convincing argument of your life, because your life depends on it.
She waited while he looked up the contact information.
Are you going to sit here and listen to my conversation?
Yes. I need to make sure you don't do anything foolish.
He peered at her with contempt and dialed the number. With the receiver to his ear, he waited.
I doubt he'll be there.
He sat straight up when the line answered.
Mr. Rahim, how are you? I apologize for reaching out to you so late.
He paused.
Good. Thanks for answering. Listen, I wanted to ask you a few questions if I could. Since the attack, I've been tasked with tightening our security measures, as I'm sure you're aware.
He nodded while the other man spoke.
Thank you, yes. It's been a very difficult few weeks.
He shot Lacey a telling look.
As I was saying, as a result, I've been asked to assess the measures you currently have in place. However, I don't have credentials to access your system.
Neville began to nod his head.
Yes, that would be great. I'd really appreciate that.
Lacey closed her eyes in a moment of relief. This was her last stand, and she had no idea whether it would actually work.
Of course. Again, thank you so much for your cooperation. I'll send you an email in the next day or two to let you know if I need anything else.
Thank you, Mr. Rahim. Have a good night.
Neville set the receiver down.
He's going to have one of his guys set me up with credentials now.
Good. Now all we have to do is wait.
Will arrived at the destination prearranged by Agent Colburn. He didn't want to leave Lacey at the Nova office, but other things still needed to be put into place, and time was too critical to waste. Fortunately, this spot was no out-in-the-middle-of-nowhere cabin. Colburn had set them up in a house that was utilized by case officers as a meeting place for foreign assets in the U.S. He was beginning to have a new appreciation for his counterparts in the international intelligence world.
You're back.
Aaron was sitting on the edge of a chair in the small living area.
How'd it go?
He agreed. Lacey's working with him now.
You left her there?
She's a very capable woman. I thought you of all people would know that. Besides, no one's going to go after her there. No one knows where she is, for one thing. She's supposed to call when she's got the information, and I'll pick her up.
Agent Colburn emerged from the hall.
You checked no one was following you?
I did. Good. What's the latest?
Axel completed his colleague's thought. Will filled them in on Lacey's progress and noticed a look of admiration cross Colburn's face.
She is good.
Colburn walked into the kitchen and grabbed a water bottle from the refrigerator.
Once we get the go-ahead from Lacey, we can have Erin get started, but I want to be sure and get her out of there as soon as possible. I agree. I don't think Neville will do anything stupid, but she's exposed right now.
Axel checked the time.
She's been there for almost an hour. I think you should head back out and wait for her.
Will grabbed his keys.
You're probably right. I'll let you know when she reaches out to me with the information.
Will eyed the agents.
Thank you, both. I know we're risking everything here, and I appreciate what you're doing for Lacey.
And you too, Erin.
This is bigger than the four of us and Lacey, but you're welcome.
Axel replied. Will nodded and left the small townhouse that served as their makeshift command center. The car flashed its lights as he pressed the remote entry and stepped inside. He keyed the ignition and pulled out of the driveway, but not before dialing SSA Mendez, whom he hadn't spoken to since discovering he was no longer in charge of the investigation. Mendez hadn't bothered to reach out to him to discuss it, and it concerned him. The line rang through the speakers and Mendez picked up.
Kaysen? Yeah, it's me. What the hell is going on? You're back in Louisville?
Where are you?
Will hesitated. Is this a bad time? I can call back later.
Hang on. It sounded as though Mendez was moving around, and Will became even more concerned.
Sorry about that, he continued. I had to step outside. Listen, are you okay? I'm fine. Had a scuffle with some bad guys, but I'm fine.
Lacey Merrick.
She's fine, too. I need to know why you aren't still in D.C.
Something's definitely going on. You were right to look into it. Mendez paused for a moment. The State Department directed that another agent be placed in charge of investigating the attack.
God damn it. This is getting out of control.
Whatever it is you're working on has riled some high-value feathers. What can I do to help?
Will was relieved Mendez hadn't turned on him, as he'd begun to suspect.
While he was glad to have Colburn and Axel's help, he needed someone on his team because involving Agent Porter any longer would put him at too much risk.
Who do you know at State?
No one who has any kind of pull. This whole thing is starting to stink of a cover-up. You think State's involved?
Motion out of the corner of Will's eye caught his attention, and he swiftly shot his gaze toward it. His eyes widened in shock at the oncoming vehicle. He swerved right to avoid the T-bone collision and struck the curb instead.
The oncoming car collided with the side of his rear bumper, and Will came to a sudden stop.
Fuck! Jesus! Will? What the hell just happened?
Mendez was still on the line. He had no time to respond and crawled to the passenger side and opened the door. He stumbled to the sidewalk and quickly got to his feet. The driver and the passenger of the car that struck him jumped out and began to run after him. Will peered over his shoulder. They were gaining on him. His injured leg now burned with pain. He needed to find a place to hide, and he was in the middle of Fairfax, only minutes from the Nova office. Will navigated through the bystanders, hoping that one of them would call 911. Once the police arrived, he figured he'd be safe since his pursuers would leave. But for now, he could only run. The sky was turning to dusk, and the shadows the buildings cast upon the sidewalk and alleyways below helped to conceal him. He ran hard and fast, but they were fast too. His fear was that they might open fire, and that would be when the real chaos would start. Ahead was a small grocer, and he considered darting inside, but that might put the shoppers in danger. He peered ahead further and discovered there was no place for him to go that wouldn't put others in harm's way. That was when he heard them. Sirens in the distance. Relief consumed him. His leg still pumped hard, and he felt the gash split open. He hoped the bandage would hold, and he looked over his shoulder once again. They were slowing. They'd heard the sirens, too. His heart still pounded in his chest, but it was now from exhaustion, not adrenaline. He'd run for at least a mile. Again, he turned and they were gone. Will hunched over, resting his hands on his knees, and inhaled great, deep breaths to slow his pulse and regain his thoughts. A tiny spot of blood managed to seep through the bandage, but it didn't look too bad. People stared as they passed him. The sirens stopped, and he assumed they'd seen the result of the collision. It was over. His pursuers were gone, for now. In the flurry and confusion of the incident, Will hadn't had time to grab his cell phone. It was still in the car, and that meant the cops would find it. They'd also likely discover he'd been on the phone with Mendez. And that brought to mind another concern. Had Mendez tried to keep him on the line so they would find him? Or were his conversations being monitored, and they tracked his GPS signal from there? It had to be the latter, because he'd known Mendez for 2 years, worked with him day in and day out, and he had been a mentor to him. He couldn't believe, wouldn't believe that Mendez had turned. Will cast his gaze ahead as calm slowly returned. He needed a clear head because Lacey was still at Nova's office, and without his phone, she wouldn't be able to reach him. His top priority was to get to her quickly. With a final subsiding breath, he raised up again and began to walk toward the office, glancing toward the street for a cab. He still had his wallet and some cash. A yellow cab approached and waved his arm. The cab pulled alongside the curb and Will opened the back door, sliding into the seat. Nova Investments, about 2 miles ahead. The driver pulled away, and within minutes, Will arrived at the building. He stepped outside and tossed the driver a 10-spot. Thanks. As he stood outside of the building, he considered the best approach. Right now, Lacey was on her own, and he had no idea if she'd tried to contact him. Will pushed through the revolving glass door and stepped inside the lobby, the marble floor squeaking beneath his rubber-soled shoes. A man sat behind the security desk and seemed to immediately recognize him. He continued to approach. Agent Kaysen, pleasure to see you again. How can I help you? The man stared at the blood on his pants. Will immediately stepped closer to the desk to divert attention. I need to see Tom Neville, please. I believe he's still in a meeting, and I'm afraid it's approaching after hours. Do you have an appointment? I'm with the person he's meeting. Oh, well, hang on a second and I'll buzz him for you. He waited while the man got permission. Go right on up, sir. The man smiled politely and gestured toward the elevators. 5th floor. Thank you. Will made his way to the elevators and up to Neville's office. The building seemed quiet, and then he realized it was getting late in the day. He knocked on the door and opened it without waiting for the invitation. Lacey glanced away from the monitor. What are you doing here? I had some problems getting to you, and I needed to be sure you were all right. Problems? Neville's attention was piqued. What kind of problems? Nothing I can't handle. Will returned his attention to Lacey. Do you have what we need? We have to go. We just got access and we're testing it now. Will looked at Neville. You're in. Tom continued to type and waited. Hold on. It's thinking. A few moments passed. I'm in. He looked up at Will. I've got access. What now? Give us a username and password. And your IP address, Lacey added. Then we'll have what we need.
Chapter 24.
Alarm bells sounded in Lacey's head at the sight of Will's jumpy appearance. You want to tell me what's going on? You have blood on your pants. This wasn't part of the plan. I was supposed to call you, remember? He had her arm and pulled her close while they walked through the lobby.
Someone tracked me down when I was on the phone with Mendez on my way here.
Oh, my God. Will continued to survey the area.
They rammed my car. I got out ahead of them, barely. But I forgot my phone in the process, and the plan was you were going to call me when you were ready.
You used your own phone?
Of course not.
So someone was listening on Mendez's end?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what happened. But right now I need you to stick close. We have to find a way out of here and back to the safe house. They're waiting for us there.
The man behind the security desk spotted them approach from behind. Have a good evening. It was the last thing they needed, to be noticed and remembered.
Good night.
Will nodded and released the grip he had on Lacey's arm. As they were nearing the revolving doors, he leaned to whisper in her ear.
Let me get out ahead of you.
Lacey didn't argue and held back a step while Will started through the doors. He'd managed to get her worked up too, and for a moment, she thought someone would jump out of the shadows and shoot them down right on the sidewalk. Calm down, she thought. As cool-headed as she'd been with Tom Neville, all of that confidence quickly evaporated. She was not a trained FBI field agent. She was a data analyst, for Christ's sake, and here she was playing spy games with the Chinese and her own government. Will was outside, exposed, and Lacey watched him as she rotated through the doors until emerging on the street next to him.
This way, he said,
heading north seemingly head-on through a crowd of workers going home for the night. He was moving too quickly, brushing past people hard enough to get a dirty look or two tossed his way. She was losing ground. Her slight stature was hardly enough to move anyone from her path, and so she weaved through them as best she could, but she was losing sight of him.
Will?
Trying not to draw too much attention, she had no choice but to call out to him.
Excuse me, pardon me, she said to those who obstructed her route. Will?
Several feet ahead, he turned back, and a look of shock appeared in his eyes as he seemed to realize she was losing ground.
Lacey?
He began to push back through the people toward her.
I thought I was about to lose you.
I'm so sorry. I was just trying to get us as far from that building as possible. He reached for her elbow. I won't leave you behind again. Come on. Will gently pulled her along, using his solid frame to part the masses for both of them.
How are we going to get back?
I'm not sure. No one can know where we're staying. We'll put everyone in danger. I need to get a phone and try Axel.
We have to get this information to Aaron.
I know. I'll get us back safely. Just stay close to me.
SSA Mendez marched through the hall, whispering obscenities under his breath. When he reached the ASAC's office, he managed to regain his composure.
I need to get back to Washington.
ASAC Rousseau sat behind his desk. The sudden appearance of a senior agent came unexpectedly.
Come in. Close the door.
Mendez pushed the door closed behind him and stood behind a guest chair, his arms propped against it. Tense and stiff, he inhaled a breath.
One of my men is in trouble.
Okay, can you tell me who?
Kaysen. I need to get back there and help him.
Rousseau leaned back in his chair.
You're going to need to give me more than that, Mendez. Does this have anything to do with being replaced on the mall bombing? Because I thought I made it clear I didn't have a say in that.
He tried to go on, but Mendez stopped him.
There's a reason why they wanted me off the investigation, and there's a reason why I left one of my team there to find out why.
And did he? Mendez pulled his cell from his shirt pocket and pulled out the SIM card.
I'm being watched, or at the very least, listened to.
He tossed it onto the ASAC's desk.
Whoever's watching me is watching my man, and who knows who else.
Rousseau sat upright and peered at the phone. He turned his gaze upward toward Mendez.
Go. Keep a low profile and get to the bottom of this. Too many people have their hands in running that investigation, and it should never have been turned over to someone outside the task force. I don't know what's going on and why you were sent back here. Just go do what needs to be done.
Mendez nodded.
Thank you, sir.
He returned to his office and needed to find a way to get a word to Agent Kaysen. He wasn't even sure if the man was still alive. The call was cut short after he heard the crash of metal twisting and Kaysen yelling. Someone tracked Kaysen down through Mendez's phone, and that meant the problem was on the inside. He didn't know who he could trust. Agent Axel. Maybe. Kaysen said he'd helped him. Perhaps that was who he needed to see. A mile from Nova's office, Will and Lacey waited inside an exterior alcove that abutted a series of other office buildings that dominated the landscape in this part of the city. A car pulled alongside the curb and the passenger window rolled down.
Get in.
Axel arrived as promised after receiving the call from Will. The two quickly stepped inside and he began to drive away.
What the hell happened? Someone's either gotten to Mendez or he was under surveillance and didn't know it. I called him from a burner phone, but within minutes, a car came from nowhere and slammed into me.
Will looked at Lacey in the back seat and returned his attention to Axel.
I left my phone inside the car, so I had to get to the Nova offices before Lacey realized I wasn't answering. I took a cab.
Axel turned to him and smiled.
A cab? Seriously?
Will shrugged.
I needed to get there fast. Anyway, I made it to Nova.
I got what we needed. Lacey nodded to Will in defense of his actions.
Good. Hunter's driving me crazy with questions. We need to get him busy on this.
Axel continued the drive.
What are you going to do about Mendez?
I can't worry about that now. I don't think he's compromised. I've worked closely with him for the past 2 years. I trust him.
You'll soon realize that it doesn't matter how long you've known or worked with someone. If they need to protect themselves for whatever reason, they won't hesitate to throw you under the bus.
Is that how you feel about your colleagues, even Agent Colburn? Lacey asked. He peered at her through the rearview mirror, which she assumed was answer enough. Within several more minutes, they'd arrived. Lacey stepped out of the car that Axel parked inside a small attached garage.
The home was gated and seemed to offer superior protection than the cabin had. The skies had already turned dark, and spending the night here was becoming a certainty. Lacey missed her kids so much, and yet she couldn't risk calling them. Not from any phone now. The three made their way inside, and Aaron rushed toward Lacey.
"Oh, thank God you're safe. We were so worried something had happened."
"I'm fine. Let's just do this." Lacey retrieved the login information. "This is what you'll need to get into the Liwa property servers. I don't know how far you'll be able to get, but Neville asked for full access to review their security systems." Aaron grabbed the paper.
"Good. That's all I'll need. Now we just need to get the proof on Kendrick."
Coburn got to the task of setting up the computer for Aaron.
"How do we know once Aaron gets in that the same thing that happened at the cabin won't happen here?"
"I'm setting you up on a dedicated remote satellite whose access is monitored by the CIA.
He looked to Axel.
"I can't tell you what happened before at the cabin. I don't know how they found you, but you acted quickly and everyone is safe. You did good, Trevor."
Lacey noted the exchange. "Yes, he did. This man had already risked his life twice for her, and whatever happened before, she wouldn't blame him for it. No one did."
"That looks like something the military would use," Aaron said.
"They do, but so do we." Coburn booted it up. "You ready to do this?"
Aaron glanced at the agents.
"If you have people at the CIA who can do this, then why aren't they? Wouldn't it be safer for all of us?"
"It's illegal, for one thing," Coburn replied.
"I thought you guys could pretty much operate how you saw fit."
"No, that's definitely not the case. I get my people to go into Liwa's files and we find something, our hands would be tied. We aren't law enforcement with subpoenas. We gather intelligence and send it to people who can do something about it."
"What's the difference if I find the information then?"
"You aren't a government agency accessing a foreign company's computer system without a warrant or their permission," Axel replied. "You can get the information to the right people anonymously. This connection will be monitored by CIA, but only to ensure it's secure. They don't know what will be transmitted or viewed."
"So, if I get what we need, am I going to get busted?" Aaron sat down at the table.
"You ever hear of Edward Snowden?" Coburn asked.
Aaron's heart jumped into his throat.
"Of course."
"It won't be like that, I promise you. You are online. Do your thing," Coburn said.
Aaron handed Lacey the slip of paper.
"Would you mind reading this off for me? I don't want to mistype anything."
"Sure. Username is Neville_TE. Password is..." She paused to study it.
"Oh, hell, there's too many symbols. Here, I'll double-check as you type."
Aaron glanced at the paper and began to type the extensive and complicated password.
"These guys don't mess around."
Milliseconds after pressing enter, a welcome screen popped up.
"I'm in."
Everyone hovered over Aaron, chomping at the bit for him to retrieve the information they needed.
"Hey, you guys mind giving me just a little bit of space here? It's kind of hard working with you all looking over my shoulder. You know, puts a lot of pressure on me."
"Oh, right." Lacey stepped back and the others followed. "We got anything to eat around here?" She walked into the galley-style kitchen and began to search for food. Not because she was hungry, but because she needed something to keep her busy. Her heart pounded in her chest, expecting someone to come barging through the doors, guns blazing, or for sirens to sound in the distance and head straight for them.
"You okay?"
Will joined her in the kitchen. "I was just thinking about my kids. And Jay."
Her eyes reddened.
Will placed his arm around her shoulders and pulled her close.
"This will end soon. It has to. Your husband's name will be cleared and you'll be able to go back to work."
"And the men behind this will be put to death, I hope," Lacey replied, wiping a stray tear that had fallen onto her cheek. Aaron took his eyes off the screen for a moment and noticed the two in the kitchen. His fingers stopped moving.
"Hunter, you find something?"
Axel asked, noticing he'd stopped typing.
"Oh, no, sorry. I'm still working around the systems. It's pretty complex."
Aaron returned his attention to the task at hand. Axel's eyes shifted to Will and Lacey and back to Aaron again.
"Okay, just checking."
The hour was approaching midnight, but Ahmed still hovered over his desk, working on the upgrades since the attack. Liwa Properties had decided to overhaul their systems, and he was on the team assigned to the project.
He noticed activity from a username he didn't recognize and reached for his energy drink, tossing back the rest of it while he studied the code. He continued to monitor the username, Neville_TE. After several more minutes, Ahmed reached for a cell, ready to put a call into his supervisor.
"Yes, sir, I apologize for calling you so late, but there's some unusual activity from a username that I don't recognize."
He waited for a reply.
"I do know what time it is, sir. Again, my apologies. But this user is in the U.S. and the IP originates from Virginia, to be precise."
He waited again while his supervisor cleared his throat and seemed to mumble words under his breath.
"Oh, I see. I didn't realize. But, sir, that doesn't explain why he's accessing the files of a hired consultant who doesn't work in security."
"Okay, sir. I'll work on that and get back to you. Thank you, sir." He ended the call and returned to his monitor.
"What are you looking for, Mr. Neville?"
"Holy shit! I think I found something."
Aaron looked to his cohorts with wide eyes, each of them quickly returning to his side.
"What is it?" Lacey asked.
"It looks like there's a program running behind Sajwani's email client."
He typed in a command.
"And it may be, yes. It's a cloning program that's sending his correspondence to another server. I don't know where, though." "What about any details regarding Kendrick?" Will asked. "That's what we need." "I understand. But if I can find out where the emails are going..." "You think they were going to Kendrick?" Coburn asked. "That wouldn't make much sense," Axel began. "They had..."